Look around yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun.
Alhamdulillah, that we have a chance to explore one of the most famous of all of the natural surroundings that can help support our evidences that we're talking about understanding and the proofs that we're going to find as we go along with this, because this place is the famous Petra. You've probably seen it in the movie Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade. But what we have here is a place where people actually used to live and die, and they had their whole civilization here. Today, it's more or less a tourist place, as we'll see as we go along. But one of the things that I wanted to emphasize is about the way things are put together here, the way the people responded to the environment. Let's talk about it. You see all the rocks everywhere, naturally. But what the people did was to carve their homes out of these rocks. They put up in these, what's a little bit of an inset in there, they would dig it deeper, and they would make the caves into actual homes in places where they lived. And they thought that they were quite sufficient. They didn't need anything or anybody. They had made up their own civilization, really, the most unique of its kind. And then they took it a step further and decided they don't even need gods anymore. They made up their own gods, but they considered that they don't really need anything. It was not until the Romans came along, and not trying to fight them with swords or weapons, that conventional weapons that we know today, but rather was fighting them with strategies. This part where I'm standing right now is actually a riverbed. And this was called Nahr in the Arabic language. Let's say that word, Nahr. Nahr. It means what? River. Got it? Nahr, river. So this was the river that brought the water into the people. What the Romans did was just simply cut off their water. And after a long period of time with no water, the people became weaker and weaker and were dying. And then when the Romans came in, they were having little, if any, resistance to the whole thing. Now, we'll take a walk through here and see what they had. We're going to be talking today about one part of Islam called the Pillars of Faith. And the first and foremost pillar that we have as Muslims is the pillar of belief in one God. We don't need any other gods. We know that there really is only one, the creator and sustainer of the universe. But sometimes when we're looking around at the creation of God, who's the creator, we forget the creator and we look to the creation. We said, oh, look at this and look at that and look at something else. But the companions of Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, whenever they would see something like this, they would say, Allah is greater than this. Allah is greater. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So that they were never going to be overwhelmed by the things of nature. They were not going to be overwhelmed by the things that the people built. Now, speaking of what people built, I want you to take a look with me right through here. Now, this is kind of a tight shot. You're going to have to kind of work with me on this. But coming through this big cavern here, as you can see, it's been eroded for many, many, many centuries of the water coming through that cut through this. And that's why it's like it is. But if you look right through here, you're going to see a shot that they used in the movie in Indiana Jones. Because if you look right through there, you'll see the carving out of the whole entire face of that cliff over there, so that it formed a beautiful looking building. It looks like a building, a Roman building. Yeah. So it would be overwhelming to somebody who had come, ventured through here, who thought maybe, oh, what is going on here? And there's people living down here. Let me see what's happening. So if he would go through here, and he'd be like, oh, look, oh my gosh. What is that? And again, what would the companions say? Huh? They would say, Allahu Akbar, Allah greater than this, Allah greater than anything. So when the people would come through, they would be like, oh, they'd be so impressed and overwhelmed. And when you get closer, you become even more impressed because you see, oh, look how big this is and how elaborate and how beautiful. Look at the artwork here, and become totally distracted and actually forget the main purpose you came in for the in the beginning. As we look around, we notice the dwellings where the people actually lived. You can see that they had an entire civilization here. They had their own city, their villages. They had their system. Their economic system was here. Their social system was here. The way that they got along with each other, all of it was here. They didn't need the outside world, and they considered themselves self-sufficient. Allah talks about it in the Quran. When he tells that there's so many people and how over the centuries they all became independent, but then at the same time how they paid the price. Alhamdulillah. Take a look right behind me. Imagine this is all cut out. All of this is cut out of the natural surrounding of this canyon. This canyon was formed by a river going through here over many, many centuries upon thousands and thousands of years. And then along came a human being and carved what you see behind us here. All of that's impressive, yeah? But when the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would see something like this, they would not be impressed. Instead, they would say, Allah is greater, Allah is greater, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Because Allah is greater than anything He created, and certainly anything that we would try to recreate. So for this reason, our first and foremost pillar, our pillar, is La ilaha illallah. There is none to worship, none worthy of our praise, none worthy of our thanksgiving other than the one Almighty Allah, alhamdulillah, who alladhi Jalna Muslimin, the praise be to the one who made us as servants to him. But check this out. I want you to notice behind me also that these buildings have six pillars. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pillars. And that's exactly the pillars of Islam. First and foremost, we already said it, is to believe one God. But after that, to believe in his angels and his books, the revelations and scriptures that came, and the prophets of Almighty God, who said the message that I'm telling you now, one God, and then the Day of Judgment, and then the Qadr or predestination of Almighty God. Those are the six pillars that will never break. Those are the six pillars that will never erode. Those are the six pillars that man cannot tamper with. The six pillars back here, well, they already served their purpose a long time ago. In fact, probably they had to be reconstructed by the archaeologists so we could have a picture for you to see. But the six pillars of Islam never changed. They're always there. God, His angels, His books, His prophets, the Day of Judgment, and the Qadr, the predestination of God. Alhamdulillah. And what do we say when we see something big, something amazing? Remember? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Look around yourself. Can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue. Planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun. Such perfect harmony, let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us? Or are we so blind to push it all aside? No, we just have to open our eyes, our hearts and minds. If we just look right, we'll see the signs. We can't keep hiding from the truth and let it take us by surprise. Protect us in the best way. Guide us every single day. Keep us close to you till the end of time.